It's my pleasure now on the Sunday Supplement here on Talk Radio Europe to talk to Susan Wilson, the chair of Bremain in Spain. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Now, can you tell me first, are you a campaigning sort of person, or has Brexit made you one?
I certainly wasn't a campaigning person before the 23rd of June. Never had any interest in politics, wasn't particularly interested in what was going on in the news either. But that all changed when the referendum happened. And after being severely angry, upset, depressed for about 3 weeks, I decided that I absolutely had to do something about it, and I couldn't sit still and do nothing. So I've become a campaigner over the last 7 months.
Did you think that we were disenchantified, the fact that we couldn't vote?
Well, I was one of the lucky ones that could vote, because I've only been here for 10 years, but I think it was very unfortunate for all of those who've been here for longer, who never had the opportunity to have a say on something that affects them so greatly.
Yeah, yeah. So, did you talk to your friends about it? Did you find a group together? How did you go about setting this up?
Well, I was quite a Facebook fan to start with, so I was introduced to Bremain in Spain by a friend who knew my stance on Brexit. So I joined as a member back in June, beginning of July, and became more and more active within the group. The group was originally started by a couple of friends from Barcelona the day after the referendum. So it's fairly young anyway.
Yeah.
But it kind of grew out of all proportion and got a lot bigger and a lot more active than they ever anticipated. And they both have careers and they both have young families. So as I was so active within the group, they asked me if I would take it over. So I've been the chair since September.
Yeah, and you're based, I think, in Castellón.
Yes.
Yeah, but of course this affects everybody who's living in Spain. Now, it seems to me that Mariano Rajoy and Theresa May have both indicated that it's very important that things remain as they are. But do you think that we're being used a bit as a bargaining chip?
Absolutely, as are the EU citizens in the UK as well. And although we have it bad, I would say, compared to what they are having to go through, I think it's appalling that the way they've been treated, not just by some awful extreme members of the British public, but by the British government as well. And I think that it's absolutely crucial that their rights are guaranteed as a matter of urgency. And if that happens before ours, that's absolutely fine by me, because I think that's the moral thing to do. And it was, after all, the Brits that started this. And I think that if we did get some sort of unilateral guarantee for the EU citizens who live in the UK, that would smooth the way towards better relations with people like Rajoy and the EU as well. It would actually work for us as well.
Yeah, in other words, Theresa May has, instead of saying Brexit is Brexit, she has to realise that if 60% of the people who are working in the health service from other EU countries feel unwelcome, many of those people are going to go, and if that happened, the health service would just collapse.
Yeah.
Now, I think Theresa May must look after the health service as much as she claims she's doing, and make sure that these people and all the other people who are living and working and have established families in the UK get the right to remain. And if that happens, and if she does that unilaterally, then she's got something that she's got to be sticking to when she goes to Brussels and everything's on the 27 member states. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. In fact, I think that there's a reasonable chance that an amendment might be made by the House of Lords with regards to the EU citizens. It certainly seems to be the most popular amendment on the table at the moment that's going through the House of Lords, and obviously they'll get to vote on that next week. So we're quite hopeful that they might actually get that one through.
Yeah. Going back to your anger, do you think the Brexit campaign and how the public was, conned by what was said by the politicians, if I can say that much?
I think you can say that much. I mean, I have to say that I think the campaigns on both sides were pretty atrocious.
Yeah.
But certainly the one on the Leib side was riddled with lies and misinformation, and all of those things that they promised are clearly not going to happen. They promised a reduction in immigration. Now it looks like that's not going to happen for many, many years, if at all. They talked about getting back sovereignty, and then they had to own up just recently and say, well, we never lost it in the first place. It just felt like it. And then, of course, there was the famous $350 million on the side of a bus that was supposed to go to the NHS. And for many, that was the reason that they voted to leave. So all of those people must be very, very disappointed, because they're not going to get the Brexit they thought they were voting for.
Yeah. And do you think when, however many time, 2 years down the line it is, that we have the deal, do you think there should be a referendum then on that deal?
I have mixed feelings about another referendum. I think part of me thinks that, yes, the British public should have a say when they know all the facts, because clearly they didn't know all the facts the first time around. Although, having said that, the thought of putting this to the British public again after what happened the last time is rather scary. I think my first preference would probably be to make sure that Parliament has a proper say at the end, and that it's not just a Hobson's choice. That one of the options will be, if the deal's not good enough, that May has to go back to the negotiating table and get a better deal, or they have to have the option to remain. And I think that that hopefully is something that, you know, is still going to be on the table.
Yeah. So how are you going to try and ensure that with your organisation, Susan?
Well, we're doing a lot of lobbying at the moment, and one of the two amendments that we're lobbying for with the House of Lords over the next couple of weeks is the one that's about having a meaningful say at the end of the process. But I think what's going to be key over the next couple of years is changing public opinion, because if public opinion changes, then they can no longer use the phrase the will of the people and it have the same meaning that they seem to think it has now. If the will of the people in 2 years' time is to stay within the EU, then the parliamentarians have to listen to that and have to make sure that that's what happens. And I think once Article 50 is triggered, and once some of these large companies start to leave the country en masse, then I think it's going to get a lot tougher, a lot more difficult on people's pockets, and I think it's only then that a lot of people will really stop and think, well, are we doing the right thing? Which, in my opinion, clearly we're not.
The rude expression, if you'll pardon me, comes to mind, the shit will hit the fan.
Exactly. In no uncertain terms, I think. I think it's already starting to happen now. We're already seeing prices going up in the supermarkets, and obviously as the cost of imports goes up, that's only going to increase, and there's more and more companies looking at setting up bases in Ireland or in other parts of the EU, because clearly they want to stay within the single market. So I think a lot can happen in the next 2 years.
Oh, yes, undoubtedly. I think the key here is also the city.
Yes.
I think money talks. The city is a world leader. We already hear that some of the banks are forecasting moving some of their staff to Paris and all the rest of it. And if the city, if that domino effect that happens there, this is going to be really serious, isn't it? And it's not serious. We're not talking just about Britain here. We're talking about the future of Europe as well.
Absolutely. Yes, it's very scary when you think of the implications. Although I have to say, I think that the fears that this could be the start of the breakup of Europe, I don't think so personally. I think this has actually strengthened Europe, because I think it's given them a bit of a wake-up call. And it's also made other countries really appreciate the value of what they have, because it seems to me that they all think we're absolutely crazy. And why would anybody want to leave a club that's so successful?
Yeah, if not economically so. But it is, when we think about farmer protection, how it's helped the fishermen, environmental controls, and all these things. And what happens in the UK when all these European regulations vanish? There's, you know, loads and loads of legislation which will have to be either copied or amended, or, I mean, it's just, and how, well, there we come back to the problem of the civil servants and all the rest of it. I mean, the more you lift up the stones here, the more stones there are below.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary, the complexity and the sheer difficulty of actually going through with it. I'm surprised that more people aren't standing up and saying about that. And I'm also rather surprised that there's not more opposition in the press. There are one or two notable exceptions, but on the whole, everybody seems to be saying what the government wants them to say, or at least agreeing with them for now. But I think that will change.
Yeah, well, the press has its part to play, as we know from the campaign.
Indeed.
So, well, I wish you all the well with this, and I'd like to keep in touch with you, Susan, because I think you're doing a very good job, and I'm certainly give you 100% support here. I'm talking about me and not the station, of course, but I can give you access, and if you've got any news that of advances or you're lobbying now, obviously we hope that the Lords will do something, and let's keep in touch.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of things going on shortly. Are you aware of the big march in London on the 25th of March?
Right, I wasn't.
Right, yes, it's going to be enormous, I believe. There's people coming from not only all over the UK, but from Europe as well. So I think there's about 20 of us going from Spain, just from my group, and there's people going from other groups as well. I've been asked to speak at it as well just today. So I'll be one of the speakers, and we're going there. We've got some rather nice banners, I think, to take. We've got one. What we've done is we've copied the Leavers campaign. So we've got one that's got a red bus on it with 350,000 written on the side, and that's representing the number of British pensioners that could go back and put demands on the NHS. And we've also copied the Breaking Point poster, but instead of immigrants invading the country, it's pensioners.
Yes, yes.
So I think we'll get a reasonable amount of publicity for that.
It sounds like you've got a good publicity team behind you. Is this right?
We do, actually. It's fairly recent, but we've sort of appointed a council in the last couple of months, and we've now got a press liaison officer and a media officer, so it's starting to look like a proper organisation, which, considering we're all volunteers, it's amazing what we've been able to do. But when you put in 70 hours a week, it's amazing what you can get what you can get done, really.
Well, I have to say, especially you're a fish in water, I think, because you're standing up for all the rest of us here, and good on you, and more strength to your elbows, Susan. Let's keep in touch, and as I say, the web page. You must talk about that.
It's www.remaininspain.com.
Thank you very much. Talk again soon.
Okay, thank you.